what went down in that 2008 election. You're a decent politician with a winning complexion. You're all Barack and no blank, but no change. We're all still hoping that you'll shut your mouth like Guantanamo Bay, they're both open. You're from the Windy City where you're looking pretty with your blowhards, but come January, you'll be left evicted and with no job. Well, I'm stronger than my jawline when I spit a phrase, knocking you harder than front doors in my old mission days. You see the silver spoon, this the mass out of debt. Took you 4 years to drop unemployment down below 8%. You feel that, Barry? You're old news. Everyone's having doubts, and your rhymes are as weak as this economy that you've done nothing about. Call me a vicious businessman, cause Romney's stealing this race. I'll go bank capital on your donkey ass, restructure your face.
Well, they say your father was a great man. You must be what's left. Need to stop hating on gays. Let them teach you how to dress. You got the mama jeans and a Mr. Fantastic face. So rich and white, it's like I'm running against a cheesecake. Republicans need a puppet and you fed. Got their hands so far up your rear, call you mitt. I'm the head of state. You're like a head of cabbage. About to get smacked by my stimulus package. You're a bad man with no chance. You can't even touch me. I got 4 more years.
2 terms.
And a White House. Just trust me. I hope you saved your best rhymes for the second half. Because right now, I'm 47% for kicking your ass.
Whatever. That 40% thing got you real mad. What, did it remind you how many decent parents you had?
Look, I respect our religions, but it might get crazy if the White House is a first, second, and a third lady.
Ha! Don't bring up wives, man. What are you doing? You got hitched to the female version of Patrick Ewing.
Let me be clear. Don't get it twisted. We'll see how pretty your face is after my face has kissed it.
You're a stuttering communist.
Oh, yeah? Well, you're stupid.
You're stupid.
By the power invested in me by the giant Baldwin, the president shall not be the shiniest of two turds. Do. I want to like you. Don't talk about change to do it. I'm Bob Woman's on my radar till I'm bloody went through it. And you, money man, you're a pancake, you flip lemonade. It's a country, not a company. You can play like Monopoly. I'll properly reach across the aisle and bitch smack you as equals. I'm the people, by the people, for the people. Eagle.
Who won? Who's there? Unison. Epic. Rap Bottles of a.
Give it a second. Time for the main event.
Here it is.
And you almost lost the primary to a socialist Jew. What are the American people gonna Yankee Doodle do? They're gonna throw your fat face after just not turning to you.
What a strong male leader
who could stand up to China.
Not a pretty little wishy-washy bleeding my vagina.
I'm gonna run these streets like I run my casinos.
More police and less Latino.
You bury us in debt by poor people's socks.
I'll create jobs, tearing down mines.
I'll use all the best rocks from the site to build a wall.
Dip it in gold and make Mexico pay for it all.
I'll make this country great again. We'll all be living long.
I'll tell Congress
you're fired
and put jobs in charge.
Cause this whole system's rigged.
And we all know the rigor.
For the last 8 years, this country's been run by.
Are you fucking kidding me with this blah, blah, blah? If she does win the White House, be a man and hold the door. Don't get your friends stirred up in some sort of Twitter civil war. There's an equal opportunity smackdown in a sequel. Let's have the people. For the people. For the people. Bingo!
Now where would I mount the stuffed head of a Winston? I'm into fitness, digging ditches through an isthmus, rough riding down a Cuban line.
What's up, bitches?
I keep my rhymes pure like my food and drugs.
I'm an American stock, and you're the British Alma Fi.
I mean, for Christ's sake, look at that mug. At least grow a spruce mustache and cover part of it up. And let's face it, you're not all that great. You tossed away lives in Gallipoli like there were scraps off your plate.
Your whole miserable country is the size of one state.
And see my way through running that without donning my pants.
Yeah.
Go toe-to-toe with me, you bloated, drunk old man. Why don't you do-si-go on over to a 12-step program?
I'll bust a trust fund lush with my American muscle
to walk softly over here and give my big stick a suckle.
Pass me a cigar and a large glass of brandy. I'm about to take you out prematurely, like your family. I'm the Rhyme Minister, fresh in a hat and dinner jacket. You look like a mix of Epic Lloyd and a Pringles packet. I was saving the planet from an axis of darkness while you were back home opening national parks.
Yes.
You were born asthmatic, you're going to choke hard while I wake up every day and chain smoke cigars. I'll fight you on the beaches, I'll fight you on the beaches.
Yes.
Anywhere you want to fight, I'll fight you and I'll beat you. See, I might be battling you even though I'm toasted, but tomorrow I'll be sober and you'll still be roasted.
My parents died when they were young and it was morbid, but at least they didn't ditch me when they were alive like yours did.
Oh shit, World War II soon?
Well, Teddy's dropping bombs, so you best go hiding, you too.
Ooh, you should be ashamed of your military honor.
Everyone knows you're back at home, like thank God for Pearl Harbor.
Don't worry, the U.S. will give you a pass.
Just change your poster to keep calm and kiss my cousin's ass.
Teddy there. I don't think it's very fair for a British bulldog to melee with a teddy bear. You're no man, you're an overgrown boy scout. I should stuff you in a pram just so you can throw your toys out.
They put your fat head on a mountain to save face, but if Rushmore was a band, then you'd play bass.
Look at Bruce about, the Duke's about, the Duke's about to touch him.
A bullet to the chest won't stop you, my words will.
A bullet can't stop the bull moose. CR will give double your C the full two.
Whatever shit you throw at me, I'll just return to sender.
I'll battle to the end and I will never surrender.
Who won? Booster. You just saw. Oh boy. What more to live?
If you guys have never listened to the epic rap battles of history, I recommend it. You just listen to three of them. The political ones can be a little different, although Teddy and Winston is my favorite. They got a bunch of other ones. Steve Jobs versus Bill Gates, Frank Sinatra versus Freddie Mercury, Jack the Ripper versus Hannibal Lecter. They get some celebrities involved, like Key and Peele have done a number of them. I'm looking at one right now of Gandhi versus Martin Luther King. They had one, I think it was Michael, the two of them did again, Michael Jordan versus Muhammad Ali or something like that. They did RoboCop versus the Terminator, Sherlock Holmes versus Batman, the Ghostbusters versus the Mythbusters. That's one of my personal favorites. Bunch of other ones. So they get creative. They got really creative with these, and they've made a lot of money off of these. Deadpool versus Boba Fett, Walter White versus Rick Grimes, and I know they make a lot of money because of the number of viewership. I mean, the one we just listened to, Teddy Roosevelt versus Winston, 24 million views. Whereas the shit... damn it, just spilled a little bit of the beer. And, of course, I had to land on some important paperwork. That is my luck. Only a couple drops elsewhere, but mostly on that paperwork. So, still. Ah, well. It's not the end of the world. I can make it dry off. Make a copy of the paperwork and I'll be fine. Anyway, how's everybody doing today? Hope you all are doing well. More people are coming in. I apologize for being a little later. I got home and I relaxed and I kind of forgot about this. I mean, I was remembering in the morning, but I forgot the exact time that I said I was going to do 5. So starting a little later. Have enough time though. As long as I leave about 45 minutes of time on here, I'll be able to reset in time at tomorrow when we do the show. So that'll be good. But anyway, Renaissance Men versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was another one. Shaka Zulu versus Julius Caesar. Just check them out. They've made a lot. But the Mitt versus Obama... that one I think is their biggest one ever. 139 million views. So that's one to take a look at. Didn't mean to turn it back on. 128 million for Steve Jobs versus Bill Gates. Oh, ooh. One of their shorter ones. I wish it was longer. It was only a couple, like 2 minutes long or something. Stephen Hawking versus Einstein. That's a great one. 118 million viewers. 2.5 minutes that long. That was a good one. So, but in any case, you know, Sky Genie, you're saying Trump sucks, Obama sucks, they all suck. Great! This is exactly how I want to get into the beginning of this show. Anyway, but today's episode, remember we're doing the reality check. I got to get a logo made for this. Have a little bit of fun. Doesn't matter who... One, Obama won, and then Trump won. But here's the thing you got to remember, dude, Luke, is the epic rap battles of history. It's always like who won in terms of the rap like that. So that's the fun of it. But anyway, I mean, hey, we just listened to Teddy Roosevelt versus Winston Churchill. Who won that, huh? Now, I know you being English, you're going to side with Winston. For me, it's hard. My favorite politician in all of history is Winston Churchill. My thesis for my degree, because my degrees were in history and political science. My senior seminar, we had to do a thesis, and mine was on the interwar years of Josh, if I can get one for the reality check, I want to get one made. You know, this show is non-wrestling completely. It's completely independent. It's the reality check where we talk about the psychology of certain topics. You know, so far we've had 4 episodes, guys. You know, we've talked about suicide and depression. We've talked about relationships. We've talked about superficialness. We've talked about unemployment. So good stuff like that. And today's episode is going to be the psychology and personal politics. I took a class on political psychology. Political psychology, when you talk about that, is talking about the psychology in politics. I want to talk about, today's, we're going to be talking about personal politics. I only wish I had someone from like the Green Party on for today. That'd be someone like a polar opposite so we can dispute this. Kind of like a Hannity and Combs, you know? Cause like I'm a liberty Republican. I'm a Republican, but I'm a libertarian Republican, you know? So I'd love to have someone who's a Green Party or something, you know? But we're going to go through the show today, and that's going to be the main item for the topic. Is I thought we can go through and enjoy discussing the psychology of personal politics. Why we get into the personal politics? More importantly, why do we get into the in-depthness that we do for the politics? And I don't know how it is in other places. I know we had I'm trying to think. I was talking to someone recently in one of my veterans groups. The guy moved to New Zealand, and he lives down there. He's an American, moved to New Zealand years ago, and he talked about how American politics plays so much into New Zealand politics and New Zealand news. I don't know how – Sky, Jeannie, you're in the chat. I'd love for you to be able to give a couple of comments because we know how it is. Now, if there's something that directly affects with Australia, i.e. the Five Eyes, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, NATO to a point because Australia is kind of like an observer, but mostly because of the fact the Queen's still the Queen of Australia. So the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, it can work like that. You know, stuff like that directly affects – Australia, so that makes sense. But if there's things that has nothing to do with make any personal effect towards Australia or even New Zealand, I want to know like how much involvement in the news they have when it comes to American politics, like Trump or when it was Obama and so on and so forth. I'd love to hear it from the other countries like that. The reason why I bring up the New Zealand example is this guy, he's a veteran, he lives in New Zealand now, and he's lost friends because And they're all New Zealanders, and they despise Trump. And they're New Zealanders. You know, we're not talking about John Key or Bill English or I keep forgetting her name. She just came off of maternity leave, too. Prime Minister of New Zealand. What is her name? Jacinda Ardern. Yeah, she's been the Right Honorable Prime Minister of the Cabinet since October. And she just came off maternity leave, so she was off for a little bit. What party is she? Is she the Nats? Labor Party. She's the Labor Party. Okay. Wait, do they have the Nats, or what parties do they have in New Zealand Parliament? Oh, she's from Mount Albert. There you go. Labor, the NZ First, the Green Party. There's something right there. And yeah, it is the Nats as well. No. Why the... Oh yeah, ACT. The ACT New Zealand, not ACT like the Australian Capital Territory. The Greens as well. That's another thing as well, as I point out. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. And guys like Sky Genie and Luke, if you guys want to call in at some point, you know, for a couple of minutes here at that point, when I start taking call-ins for this show, I would love to have a couple of you guys talk at some point for a couple of minutes. And discuss how it is like in your when I get to the topic of multiple parties, because that's actually a good topic to get into. Because here in the United States, as any American knows, we have mostly a two-party system. We've had some times in the past where it broke. You know, in the 1912 election, we had four political parties in the presidential election that did very well. You know, Woodrow Wilson won with I'm doing a really in-depth introduction to this show today. Woodrow Wilson won with the Democratic Party. Second place was former President Teddy Roosevelt, who created the Bull Moose Party, as people heard. But it was actually the Progressive Party, Progressive Republicans. That's what he was. Then you had William Howard Taft, the incumbent president, ironically coming third place with the Republican Party. And then you had Eugene Debs in fourth place with the Socialist Party. After that, the last time was the 1968 election, when the American Independent Party, which was a pro-segregation party led by, I think it was George Wallace. That's not the thing about like the idea, you know, the political aspect like that, Sky Genie. It'll make sense when we get to the topic. You know, in the 1968 election, we had three political parties. The American Independent Party got like 16 or 19% or something like that. And they won five states, but they were all in the South. George Wallace himself, I think that was the guy. Yeah, because McGovern was the guy who got shot. He was the non-segregationalist. George Wallace was that. And then in 1996, in 1996, you had Ross Perot win the he didn't win the election, but he came in third place with like 16% or something like that as well of the vote. And in doing so, got the Reform Party on the major ticket, and that's how we have Jesse Ventura as a former governor, because he was with the Reform Party. So right now we've only got a two-party system. The Libertarian Party and the Green Party are minor political parties, not major political parties, so they have to petition every year to get on the presidential ballots in the states that they did not get a minimum of 5% to meet the requirements as a major political party. The only states like that is New Mexico, possibly Alaska, and a couple others. That's about it, you know. So, but when we get to the idea of multiple parties, I want to talk a little bit, just asking when it comes for you guys voting. That's all. Because like that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be a long thing. Don't worry. It's just asking a couple of questions like that. So with all that intro, let's get right on into the show. So, yeah, today's episode, like I said, psychology of personal politics. Why do we get so in-depth into our mindset for people that if they are so dead set into their political ways, which there's nothing wrong with that part there's nothing wrong with, but when you get so dead set to the idea of attacking people, you know. So a quick thing, as I mentioned to you guys, I've done some political campaigning. I've been doing some door-to-door for a candidate. I'm not going to say who. Local politics, you guys wouldn't even know who anyway. But so we were doing door-to-door and stuff, and, you know, I knock on this one door, and the woman answers, and, you know, never got her name or anything, you know, why, anyway. And I wanted to just ask her a couple of questions. She was following the races and the local getting a lot of freaking bubbles out of this beer. I'm drinking this new kind of Tampa-based beer called Coppertail Brewing Company. They have this IPA called Free Dive. It's okay, but I'm going to avoid this from now on. Every time the IPA gives me like bubbles, like it's a freaking carbonated drink. So she thought I was like trying to sell sudden, or she thought it was religious material, and I told her, no, it has nothing to do with that. And so she's, you know, okay. And I mentioned, you know, I'm a Republican, and what do I get quickly? She just quickly grabs the door and says, you and Trump can go fuck yourselves. Why do we get to that, those kind of things? You know, I've met a lot of people that could be Democrat or Independent or Libertarian, and they've had no problem talking to me and, you know, telling me that they're not a Republican or anything like that. And you know, now go figure, I'm a Liberty Republican, so there's that. But why do we get to the point of hating each other like that? That's the only question, you know. There used to be the old saying in the United States, like 60, 50, probably even 40, 30 years ago, you know, good friends never discuss religion or politics. In the case of war veterans, the war would be part of that as well. And they just wouldn't talk about that. You know, it was okay. If you asked a question, then you could talk about it. But if you weren't asked a question, you didn't talk about it. We're more open now, these last 20 years, I'd say. Probably since Clinton, maybe even back since Reagan, people have been more open to be able to talk about their politics. Personally, I think that's good. I personally think that we should not have to worry about the fear of talking about other political views. You know, we should be able to talk about it. I mean, I've talked about it here or there, and I've mentioned it on the show many times that I've got friends from multiple different political parties in this country alone. I got friends who are Republican, who are Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, Reform Party, Veterans Party. Think I still know people who are Constitution Partiers, possibly, and Independents. You know, I know from all of those parties. You know, we talk about the idea of foreign politics, you know, Sky Genie, Luke, you know, many others that's from other countries, Sea Pipes. You know, I know people who are progressive conservatives, as the Republican Party is called in Canada. Or it's just a conservative party, but some places, like in Ontario, for example, I know, like, you know, C-Pops and I talked about it, is part of the progressive conservatives. Now he's not part of the progressive conservative, but that's what it's called in Ontario, you know. In Saskatchewan, it's called the Saskatchewan Party, but it's a conservative party. I know people who are Labour parties. I know people who are, I think, part of the Liberal Democrats, Scottish Nationalist Party, you know, and so on and so forth. I know someone who, in Germany, they're a member of, I don't know if they're a member, to be honest, but they vote for, oh my God, what's that party? Not the CDU, that other major party in Germany. And it's not the CDU, CSU. But anyway, CPD. Yeah. CPD, the, yeah. Like the Christian Democratic Party, I think is what it's called. But, so I got no problem with people that has different views. And I've had, you know, we've talked about these things. I've talked many times when it comes to this stuff. I remember, you know, when I was trying to do the whole international thing, you know, my international tour show, and I interviewed Sky Genie. We came to politics, and he was amazed at the politics I knew, and he doesn't want to follow his own politics. And I'm not saying that to knocking him. You know, that just shows the fact that, you know, I mean, I was one looking more into it because I'm excited about politics and foreign politics as well. Sky Genie is making the jokes right now, the asshole party and the drunken party. Here's a fun one. Check out Hungary's Two-Tailed Dog Party. That is a real name of a real party. They've been around for a while. It's considered a comedic political party. But they get some real political candidates. They had one guy running for local election completely dressed up in a chicken suit. And he would only talk like a chicken. He would just say, Kot Kadesh, which apparently is the way of saying cluck cluck in Hungarian. But I've never heard a chicken in my life say Kot Kadesh. So therefore, I'm going out on a limb and saying that is not a real chicken. Anyway. But you get these parties. You know, we got the legal marijuana now party in the United States. We got like three different marijuana parties. Not just parties that support marijuana. I mean, their whole party's based on marijuana. In fact, some of them, I think, possibly don't even want marijuana to become legalized because once it's fully legalized in this country, the party has no reason to exist anymore. What are they going to do? Weed's fully legal. What are they supposed to do? They're gone. They're going to merge into another party and then go from there. And, you know. Wolfman, I've been studying the Freedom Party of Austria for years. Keep me updated on that. I want to hear about that. I love learning about more and more parties, you know. But I know someone who's a supporter of the Golden Dawn Party over in Greece. I don't know too much about them, but I never forget the name Golden Dawn because it kind of reminds me of remember that the game Red Dawn, and then then there's Golden, and I don't know. I picture like a tiara or a crown. For like Golden and Greece, and you know, they used to have kings and shit. I don't know. My mind's weird. But why do we get into, I have no problem talking with people with different political views, and there's nothing wrong with that. One of my former roommate, he and I still get along in ways. He and I fight when it comes to politics. He's a Green Party guy. I'm a Republican, Liberty Republican. But we got no problem. We still joke around on a bunch of things here or there. We could hang out. I ran into him at Comic-Con. And it was just he spotted me first, and it was just awesome, you know. There's no beef. Look, I mean, do we get into a fist fight if we were to talk politics? Maybe through Facebook. I don't know. Maybe we want to send, like, a punch emoji. I don't know. But for other people, it's not like that. For other people, it's like their political beliefs are their political beliefs, and that's it. And if you don't believe that way, you're the evil one. It's kind of like how things used to be with religion. I'm Lutheran. It is only Lutheran. And if you're not a Lutheran, you're the heathen that's going to be going to hell and get away from my family because you shouldn't be cohabitating with any of them because you're going to corrupt my daughter or my son or my wife or whoever the hell. You know? People are like that when it comes to Methodism. You know, is that how you call it? I don't know. It's a Methodist. It's Methodist, it's Lutheran, it's Christian. Jewish people are like that in ways. Muslims are like that in ways. You know, a lot of people, that's what they're, you know, that's what they're like. And it's, I don't entirely understand it. I mean, now, when someone attacks you, there's nothing wrong with defending your political beliefs. You should always be able to defend your political beliefs, you know what I mean? Always, even if you're my opponent, defend it. But why do we get to the point where you have to defend? I mean, now, if we're having an intellectual debate, let's say we're just debating on a topic. I don't call that, if I give my view and then you give your view, that's not defending. To me, that's, maybe it's like maybe refuting or rebuking, or it could be conversing. Or replying back. It could be any of those other words. I don't think it's really defending. Now, maybe we get into, like, a good topic, and it's still a good debate, and we're still peaceful with each other, cordial, everything's calm, and we're getting ingrained into it. And you're like, I'm going on the defense, defending my view. You can almost get that. You can almost say like that, but I still don't think that's defending. I still think it's, like, refuting my claim or well, I'm refuting your claim, you know? It's a different vernacular. You could still use the word defend in that, but I don't think it's like that because we don't get to that point, you know? And so I try to figure out why we get so into that. I went to, I'm going to give you an example from, this is something. I'm going to give you guys another example of something. When I went to the Trump rally in Tampa, when the night was all said and done, everyone's enjoying themselves, we leave, go outside, and there's the protesters, and then there's the Trump supporters that are facing off against the protesters. And the cops are in the middle. You got cops on their bikes and cops on their horses. They use it to make a wall. Because by using the bikes, you're making a wall. You know, hey, there you go. Trump built the wall. Bam. Anyway, they make a wall out of the bikes. You hold the, it's amazing when, it's actually amazing how much strength you get just by holding a bike in certain ways if you're trying to cordon off in walls. And they use the horses, so one, they've got the high ground, if you will. They can see, spot out anything if anyone's trying to do anything. And the horses shit on the ground. So who's gonna walk through that, you know? No one's gonna start bum rushing each other. There's shit all over the place, literally. You know? So, there's the protesters, and I go over and I get close, and there's a guy, he African-American guy who's supporting Trump and defending Trump and all that kind of stuff, and he's facing off against this young girl, probably 18 years old, something like that. I don't know. I know she said she, near the end of the discussion, she pointed out the fact that she was just graduating from high school, or she did just graduate. It had to be. It was July. So we had a talk. And I got into the debate they had going. He ended up having to leave, so I took over, if you will. And we had a good talk. It was calm, you know. She confessed her dad is I think her dad's from Lebanon or something. He's a Middle Easterner. I think he was from the Arabian Peninsula. I remember that. So it could be Lebanese, could be Jordanians. I don't think she said Saudi, so it wasn't Saudi Arabian. One of those. And she pointed out the fact, you know, his background stuff, her family like that. You know, she points out the fact that she's bisexual, so it's like, you know, she's, you know, got to be careful with what she says because part of the family doesn't know. Her dad doesn't know, but her dad's been always open with gay people and has friends who are gay, so he's not that Muslim that believes strictly like the idea you can't be, you know, gay is wrong, you know, and it's not just Christianity. Islam is very similar in ways if you're devout, you know. So it was good we were having that talk and learning from each other, you know, and I was showing some points on some things, she showed some points, and it was a peaceful debate. So we got a liberal protester, she and I talking and having a complete intellectual debate, just conversing with each other, and it was nice and it was peaceful. You got all these people screaming and yelling at each other, and it was calm, you know? But then there was a couple of Trump supporters, there was only a couple of them, got mad at the fact that, like, what are you doing over there? Come back over here. I'm like, no, I'm debating her and I'm winning. I had to say that I thought I'd say the winning part because I thought it, like, you know, calm down, like, yeah, all these protests going on, look, we're taking one of yours, you know. I thought it would just mellow the thing. Well, turns out because of the fact that I didn't the fact that I was even talking to her was wrong. So when she left, a couple of people, they were started saying some shit and everything. I tried to tell them to calm down. I mean, look, guys, no, come on. Let's be the better ones and everything. And they rebuke me. You know, they're like, don't even bother. No, traitor and everything. And it's like, what the hell? I'm on your side. I've been here the whole day. You know, I don't get that often. That was the first time I've ever dealt with a Trump supporter like that. It's the first time I've ever had a Trump supporter do anything like that to even in person, seeing it to anybody else. I've always seen nice debates, heated debates at times, but never that bad, anything like that. So I'm trying to show that because it's not just me, like, if I'm saying anything about what Democrats are. I'm trying to show, in fact, even on my side, there were people that get heated like that. Like, you can't talk to the other side. If you talk to them, you're a traitor. And we hear this in diplomacy all the time, you know. Trump gets hit for the fact that how can he meet Putin? How can he meet Kim Jong-un and everything? These are our enemies. These are tyrants. And it's like, well, Obama's met Putin. Obama has met, Raul Castro when he was in charge of Cuba. Went to Cuba, shook his hand, sat next to him when they did baseball and stuff like that. And it's like, so, and that's not knocking him. I'm saying both presidents have done it. It's been going on for years. You know, you talk to the enemy, you try to convince, see if there's a way of making peace or whatever, calming the shit down. So it's like, what the hell? So, I mean, now it depends on what's going on and how you do it and what the end result is. But doing it on its own, I don't think there's anything wrong with. So it's like, just why do we get to these things? Why do we get to the point that the fact that it's like you can't talk to an opposing force? You know, why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we do that to each other? You know, people have lost friendships because they had different political views. I don't. I've had people who scolded me and then stopped being friends with me because of the fact that I was a Trump supporter. But it's like, I don't cut anybody out who's a, you know, because they supported Hillary or they supported Obama. I voted for Obama in the past, you know. I'm a turncoat, technically. But, take a drink. This Coppertail Brewing, I got a side note, guys, if you live in Florida, you get a chance. If you like IPAs, it's good. I just, like I said, it's like a bright malt backbone, pine aromas, huge hit of citrus. I swear I should be paid by these guys to advertise. It is good. It's just IPAs always give me like a carbonation kind of feel. So it just messes me up a little. But I just don't get why we get into this heated stuff. So let's look into the psychology. Let's look into why the personal psychology of personal politics. Why do we get that way? I think a key thing about it, first and foremost, is we have to be right. And the opposite side can't be right because two people can't be right at the same time, evidently. That's kind of the way we get into it. That's kind of the mindset we do to each other. And I don't get why. I don't get why. Why do we do that? You know, but we get into the mindset of the belief that our view is right. There's nothing wrong with that. But therefore, the other sides cannot be right. They have to be wrong. They are wrong. You are wrong. I am right. You're the problem, not me. And it's like, You know, I mean, there are topics out there where both people can be right. You know, and sometimes there's topics where we get into, we're doing different arguments. I'm going to give you a great example of a very heated topic. I'm not going to show any personal side on the views on this topic, okay? But abortion, example. It's two different arguments when you're doing that. People say pro-life, people say pro-choice. It's like those are two different topics. It's like if we were doing the pro-choice slash freedom, if you will, you know, pro-freedom, I guess if you want to think of pro-choice, pro-freedom, what if you like that, versus pro-no-choice, no-freedom. I guess that's how the argument would be said. Or the verse of pro-life versus pro-death. It's like we get into technically different arguments. You're talking about the right of choice of a woman to be able to have to choose on things, the freedom to choose. But then it's like the other one is the life of the child. So it's like, why do we... It's literally two different arguments. It's the same thing. It's the same topic you guys are doing. I wish you guys could see my hand gestures. I'm literally putting, like, back and forth on top of each other. You know, like, how you stack your hands on top? You know, kind of like when you're, like, all as a group together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like always in the movies and everything. Can we come together as a team? And everybody puts their hands in the middle. Well, I'm doing it with just two hands. One stacking on top of the other like that, back and forth. It's one topic, two different arguments. So we get into a heated topic like that because of two different arguments. It's like now you put the meat of the arguments can go against each other, but then it's like the main argument is different on both sides, you know? So it's like you got to just try to put it together, meet up. Don't, like, if this was a bridge, guess what? You did your math wrong, and now both sides of the bridges, because you had to work from both ends at once, is now completely off, and you ended up with the fact that there's like 5 feet between the two ends, not even close, and guess what? Cars are going off because they're literally bridges to nowhere. And that's a hell of a lot of funniness, and I've seen some bridges where they did that shit, and it was funny as hell, and yes, I have a sick sense of humor. That's not the sickest of things out there. I mean, what's the thing? What's sick about it too much? The fact that I think the architect got his math wrong by a degree or two, and therefore they have a fucked up bridge. That's funny, you know. So, oh boy, so the suds coming. Nope, I'm good. No overflow this time. Good. that's kind of mean, but also nice at the other end. Sky Genie, like the first half mean, second half good. You know, but, you know, there were other topics where we get into this and they do match up. Most of the topics, they match up. It's like pro gun control, or pro firearm control, depending on how it is. You know, it's like, okay, pro war versus pro diplomacy. That's another one. You know, people always say, like, you know, use the, the you know, use the pen. The pen is mightier than the sword. And other people are saying you need to have the sword and the shield to be ready. You know, we need to have the sword ready so we never have to use the shield. So it's like, okay, you know, why not work with both? Why not just do that? Why not have a pen and a sword and a shield and a box of graham crackers? Because screw you guys, graham crackers are delicious. Put some peanut butter on it, get a big glass of chocolate milk. You have a fun day like a five-year-old again watching Shawshank Redemption. And if anybody says Shawshank's not for five-year-olds, screw you. It's a clean movie, you know, except for the part where Tommy gets shot and killed by the guardsman. That sucks. You know, you could fast forward that with the kid if you don't think they're ready. But we get into these polar opposite topics. So now let's move on to the fact of, you know, you get the topics where they do make they're even with each other. Like I said, you know, mention the fact of pro firearm versus pro gun control. You know, you got these other ones that it's a topic that meets, and it's like, why not have a sensible, peaceful, democratic peace talk, you know, or public peace talk, if anybody hates it like that, you know, I don't know, whatever, you know, libertarian peace, I don't know, a peaceful talk over the discussion. Why do we get heated with each other on these things? You know, oh yeah, when Brooks hands himself, yeah, that is a tough one. Now, there's something right there. Here's an example. Luke Birch has brought up something in the chat. Speaking of Alexa Bliss, he made a joke about Alexa Bliss earlier and stuff like that. What gave people online the right to leak her personal information just because she's a Republican? First off, I personally figured she would have been a Democrat. I didn't even know her information leaked out like that. If she's a Republican, then okay, she has her rights to that and freedom. You know, but we got But that's something right there. Think about it. People dox people. You know, when people go to you had all these people you heard from, like Antifa and others, that would try to take pictures of Republicans that were at these rallies and events or certain protests or whatever against them, and they would try to dox them so they could lose their job or so they could have their life threatened or so they could this or that or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why do that? You know? Now we get to the extremes of things like this. Look what's been going on. You know, you got things like, I mean, Chris Hardwick's a little different because it was the claims of sexual assault or something. But now you got like the James Gunn thing, or you got people that make certain tweets and stuff, and it gets severely taken out of context and stuff. And people from both sides, you know. So it's like you've had people that, you know, whether it's Alex Jones losing all of it, being canceled. And now I just found out from Gavin McInnes and the Proud Boys or whatever that is. I don't know. They've lost their accounts on YouTube as well. No, on Twitter. They lost on Twitter. They got cut off. The H3 podcast, they mentioned Alex Jones' name, so YouTube cut them off. So it's like, why? Why do we do that? Why do we attack each other and everything? Now, I'm going to do something, give myself a quick breather. I'm going to, you know, and now Gabriel's saying, you know, be fair and don't just put on Antifa. You know, I'm not saying it's just Antifa, although Antifa did a lot of it. But there are, that's what I was saying for both sides, you know, because like James Gunn, you got all the Republicans coming out. It's like, oh, you attacked all these guys for their tweets. Now it's like, oh, backfire on you. He needs to be fired. He needs to be scolded. He needs to do this and that. And it's like, so yeah. I think Antifa has done it more than most, without a doubt, because they were outright calling for it and saying that these people need to be attacked and stuff. So, but it is on both sides, so don't take it the wrong way like that. Here's a quick thing I'm going to play, and it's Jim Cornette talking about Kane because of the election. And I want you to listen carefully. Now, he's able to speak peacefully, even though the fact that he also does point out, you know, everybody knows. Now, Jim Cornette is an outspoken Democratic socialist. Like, the stuff going on with that girl, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, he follows her. He follows Bernie Sanders. He's a spoken Democratic socialist, you know. So now you got a Republican, a Liberty Republican in Kane, winning the Knox County mayor seat, which we talked about recently, which, remember, is the most important county seat of anything over in East Tennessee. However Knox County goes, the rest of East Tennessee goes. And remember, Jim Cornette spent a lot of years living and making money and making a career out of Tennessee, not just being in Louisville where he's from. He lives in Louisville right now, but remember, like, Smoky Mountain was based out of Knoxville. So it even more is the fact. So, and remember, last thing is, the guy who is currently the mayor of Knox County declared a day, I forgot the exact day, Jim Cornette Day in Knox County. So the county seat that that Kane is taking over is the same county seat that named a day after Jim Cornette. So it's a personal effect for him. So it's 4 minutes, and just listen to this and go from there.
Corny drive-through from Sean Quinn. I had to ask Jim, since he loves politics, what is your reaction to Kane winning the Knox County mayor position? Does Jim support him even though he represents the political party of nutjobs and Russians? And obviously, Jim, many questions have been flooding in about your thoughts about Kane becoming the mayor of Knoxville. And that's usually when you answer. Did you mute yourself?
Oh, shit, wait, I hit my...
Jim Cornette pulled a Papa Dave, everybody.
There's the thing on my headset there, and I had turned it when I adjusted. Anyway, I don't know every political statement that Glenn Jacobs has made. If he's out there saying, and Trump is God, and et cetera, then I would be seriously concerned with Glenn also. But knowing him as a person, there's a big difference also between local politics and national politics. So while he may have run as a Republican, I'd like to think that he's one of us deep down inside. But here's the fucking rib. The rib of it all is, what would you have thought if you were standing ringside in a Knoxville Civic Coliseum 23 years ago this month, watching a guy in a hockey mask get tombstoned by the Undertaker, and say the guy that just got dropped on his head in 23 years, we're going to elect him the mayor?
Well, you're missing the bigger story. I was there that weekend. That's not it. It's, imagine if you were a fan in the park and you saw this big giant 7-footer get put in a figure four by Bill Apter. You say that guy is going to be the mayor one day, because that's what I saw right around the same time you're talking.
Yes. So congratulations to Glenn, and hopefully he'll be one of the good ones on the other side, because he's a nice guy.
Was he someone who talked a lot about things outside of wrestling in the locker room? Is he someone you've ever had conversations with about things outside of wrestling?
Well, in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, no, because Glenn was very quiet, and also the amount of attention time that I had to have a quiet conversation. Well, you've seen that, right? So that would never have happened. In the WWF, I knew that he was interested in, you know, civic affairs, at least, and was a smart guy and intelligent and studied a lot of things, but not really, again, a big political conversation. Maybe by that point, he might have converted me, because I wasn't paying attention at that point. Because I wasn't into politics. So no, not really. Maybe it's for the best if he ran as a Republican and we haven't sat down and talked about politics, but I still have a positive outlook on Glenn. And also because, once again, in a ridiculously stressful and pressure-filled business where a lot of people make a lot of mistakes, right? Name one guy that's never had a bad personal habit or issue that's gotten publicity or outside the ring done goofy shit he shouldn't have done, or had a dispute with the promoter because he's made a lot of money there and has been treated very well. He's a model employee for a big time wrestling promotion. And so that means he's a good human being, regardless of what his political leanings are. Because how many opportunities, well, a guy that's been there now for 23 years, 22 years, how many opportunities has he had to fuck up royally, as big a star as he's been for so long, and show his true colors? He must really be a nice guy.
Now, think about that. You guys just listened to Jim Cornette as he talked about it. Think about the fact that, you know, he defended Kane, but and everything, and he gave him good reviews and everything. He says how he's a model wrestler, model person. He loves Kane and everything. But notice the fact that he did make a point, though, when he said, you know, I'd like to think he's one of us. Now, here's the thing. Jim Cornette, like I pointed out earlier, is a democratic socialist. He's outspoken about it. Not just Democrat, he's a democratic socialist, you know. He's for the military, he loves the police, but he also believes that we shouldn't have all this money for them. He believes in Medicare for all, he believes in free college, he believes in a lot of free shit like that. And I'm only emphasizing that to show the fact, so he's a democratic socialist, and he speaks very highly about a guy, but he also hopes that he's like him instead. Because local politics, it is different. You know, we got the upcoming races, big elections this year, and it's definitely, this is going to be a very hectic, election cycle. The primaries have been going on for a while. I believe right now, today, Tuesday, for anybody, it's Minnesota is going to be one of the states. I'm pulling up the list right now. Today's the 11th, and right now Hawaii is having their primaries in Hawaii. Now, right now, if anything, this election's more important than the actual election, because in Hawaii, is the only state in the country that 100% of their state senate is Democrat, and there's about a couple of seats in the House of Representatives for the state that that are Republican. The rest are Democrat. So the primaries are more important because there's a lot of the seats that there's not going to be a candidate for on the at the election. So whoever wins the primary, if there's no Republican opponent or there's no NPA opponent, independent opponent, or Libertarian or any other political party, the person ends up going off and just winning automatically. So you will have to, so the primaries are where it's at in those cases. I'm taking a look right now, the 11th, the 14th, these are the states that are having on August 14th their primaries: Wisconsin, Vermont, Minnesota, and Connecticut. So you got two New England states and they don't border because of Massachusetts, and two states that do border each other, Wisconsin and Minnesota. I mean, they one makes the other when you look at the cut. They have their primaries on the 14th. The 21st is Alaska and Wyoming. Then the 28th is Arizona, my state of Florida. September 4th is Massachusetts. September 6th is Delaware. New Hampshire is the September 11th. That is so creepy. I couldn't imagine. Think about that. The New Hampshire, the state whose motto is live free or die. The live free or die state. And they do it on 9/11. You know, I could only imagine people feeling like this is kind of weird, you know? Rhode Island, September 12th. New York, September 13th. They already held the primaries for the federal offices. This is for state and local offices for New York. So meaning not congressman, a senator. But now it's like the state assemblyman and state senator and maybe the governor. Yeah, because that's state. And then finally we cup it off, Louisiana. Holds the, Louisiana on November 6th. They hold their primaries for all parties on the same day as the rest of the country holds the elections, and then whoever gets the most votes is the one that wins. So the primary and the election is one and the same for Louisiana, and then if needed, they hold a runoff on December 8th. So I just gave you guys a rundown. If you live in any of those states and you need me to repeat it, just write it in the chat room, and I'll type out the date for you for your state. But you know, you got these, so like, that's what I was saying, like, so like for Hawaii, they got theirs going on. This is where the primary is also important, everybody. Check it out, because the fact that if your state representative, state senator, congressman, congresswoman, whoever, and the others do not have a political opponent from another party, the primary is important because that's where the real election is. So anyway, back to the whole point with Jim Cornette and Kane is, Cornette had to make the statement of saying, I would like to think he's one of us. Local politics is different. I was talking about the whole thing with the Senate. Right now there's a lot of heated seats going on. A lot of seats going on right now. And that's going to be hot tickets. And one of them is West Virginia. And in West Virginia, Joe Manchin, the former governor, is the senator, and he's a Democrat. West Virginia is a very much Republican state. It's been Republican since 2000. Joe Manchin's held a high popular rating, though, so the and he's one who's pointed out many times, you know, he doesn't always do what the Democratic Party says, because West Virginia politics is different from the national politics and the politics of the rest of the country. West Virginia Democrats are not the same as California Democrats, are not the same as New York Democrats, are not the same as Texas Democrats. And yes, there are Texas Democrats, i.e. Papa Dave. Jim Cornette saying, I would like to think he's one of us because local elections are different, makes complete sense. But also he had to make that little stick on saying he would hope he's like one of them, because Kane has come out and shown support for President Trump. He gave speeches. I could pull up the one he did with Neil Cavuto, but it's like 6-7 minutes, and I don't want to kill you guys with that much, you know? And Gabriel makes a good point. He just wrote into the chat room, you know, they're more corporate. In many ways, I mean, there's always going to be a national feel to a political party, you know. Whether it's in Canada or Australia, people who are a member of the Nats over in like in New Zealand, whether they're down in Christchurch or they're over in, what's the name of the other major city in New Zealand? I'm pulling up right now. I feel like an idiot. This Christchurch, Wellington, or Auckland. People who are Nats out of Auckland may not be the same as the Nats out of Wellington or in Christchurch. Now, New Zealand is a smaller place. So, I mean, people can make the argument that they are much more similar. Which can be the set. Australia, big country. You know, people who are liberals out of Canberra are going to be different than liberals out of West Australia or the liberals that may be in the Northern Territory, you know, or off the coast in Tasmania, you know. So there is always that different feel. So there is that corporate feel, but there, like you're saying, but it's also, there is a cutthroat national look. And the thing is, we've gotten so hardlining. Here's something that's going to shock you guys. You guys only see it every so often now. But it used to be the day when you had many Republicans that were liberal and Democrats who were conservative. Conservative did not mean that you had to be Republican. And liberal did not mean you had to be Democrat. There's certain terms for that. We still have the Democrats like this. That's called Blue Dog Democrats. Those are conservative Democrats. Those are Democrats that, they fit the line with Democrats on a lot of social views. They fit the line when it comes to a lot of other stuff. They can fit fiscally as well. Taxes and stuff like that. But they do tend to have some Republican things. Charlie Crist, a great example. He's a former Republican governor of Florida, became a Democrat, now he's a congressman. He's a blue dog Democrat. There are some things that he's still conservative about. Because conservative and liberal, it depends on the stuff. It could be about, there's the social views. You know, you have people that are socially liberal. Libertarian's a great example. Socially, they're liberal. They believe in the free choice for abortion. They're liberal in LGBT and civil rights for all religions and all ethnicities and stuff like that. And some of those things, and more of those are happening within the Republican Party. I see it as well. But that's the thing about libertarians, is that they're very much on that, while still being conservative when it comes to, like, taxes and stuff like that. In fact, libertarians are even more conservative than conservatives. They don't want taxes, period, for the most part. You know, but they understand we need to have something to pay for the government, so they believe in, like, there's a lot of people, and there's even Republicans like this, that they believe get rid of, like, sales tax and get rid of income tax and all these things, and then keep the sales tax and create, like, a consumption tax, you know, instead. And there's all these arguments. There used to be a lot of these guys. John F. Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, all the Kennedys were conservative Democrats. They would be what you call now blue dog Democrats, but it was just being conservative. Back in the day, there used to be the same name for liberal Republicans. It was called Rockefeller Republicans, made famous by the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers were, now John D. Rockefeller helped pay the money for President McKinley's presidential campaigns, both of them. McKinley was a Republican, so he sided like that. But later years, whether it was like Nelson Rockefeller or John D. Rockefeller IV, who was a former senator from West Virginia himself, Democrats. You know, he was a Democrat. John D. Rockefeller IV. Nelson Rockefeller was a Republican, but he had a lot of liberalness to himself. So at that time, they were called Rockefeller Republicans. They were liberal Republicans. You know, you used to have all these mixes and matches. By the 80s, things started kind of getting separating, like, okay, if you're conservative, you're Republican, if you're liberal, you're Democrat. And then we got more, and then over the last two decades, in the 90s, we didn't have it as much, and in the early 2000s, I don't think we did it as much. I mean, you definitely had the opponents of Republican Democrat, but it wasn't as strictful. Maybe 9/11 helped keep it like that for a while. Gabriel, I'm going to get back to that, okay? But we get into these, you know, it didn't used to, I think after 9/11 and the patriotism and stuff like that, we kind of kept a more closer knit in many ways. You know, there were things that Democrats voted for at the time that now they will not vote for and stuff like that, you know? But in the last two decades, we have gotten, especially in the last decade, 15 years at that point, up to maybe 20 years, we got to the point of such hardlining that it got to the part of the fact that they did break that away. You know, they did create the division to the point that now it's such hardlining. And part of that, and we can get into that, and that's going to be the topic of fear. And I'm going to bring up that in a second. Now, quick thing, side note, Gabriel, people never take that into consideration when they say the Republican Party is great because they freed the slaves. But here's the thing, Gabriel, the Republicans got that credit. You know, you can't take like the Nazi Party, have it come back, and then it's like, oh, they're all about the Jews, and they're all about, you know, they support Jews and Gentiles and homosexuals, and they don't want to kill anybody. They want to kill people that do the kill. It's like, well, that's a good thing now. But the point is, you got a background, you know. It's like taking a guy who's a career mobster who killed a lot of people or whatever, and now he's he works and he takes care of dogs all his life, and he cares about dogs and animals, and he loves that. And it's like, he's a good person now. He's a great person now. In fact, I'm actually referencing the kind of a guy who did that. He was an enforcer for a mob back in New York. He's called the Dog Father. Check him out. Great stuff he does. You know, now, I don't think he killed anybody. He beat the crap out of people. I don't know if he ever killed. I can't remember his prison record that he talked about in the interviews and stuff. But he does good stuff, and I don't know how the guy lives because he barely eats, he barely sleeps, and he drinks like 6 espressos in a day, and he literally, they record him as he drank every single one of them throughout the day. It was crazy. But if you got a background, that background's with you, you know? So, like, when it comes to the argument about slavery, Republicans did vote to get rid of slavery. Republicans did vote when it came to, like the Emancipation Proclamation, or when it came to a bunch of other things. Democrats didn't have that background. Now, Democrats have changed, and they're the party of minorities and stuff like that. Republicans have a lot of minorities as well. But so the point is that if you got any baggage from your past, and there's things with the Republicans as well. Remember, like I mentioned, there was progressives in the Republican Party. There were progressives in the Republican Party. Teddy Roosevelt brought the progressives, and they left when he did the Bull Moose Party, which was with the progressives, you know. But what today would campaign to free slaves? Who would call that progress, and who would want to conserve what was? I get the point that Gabriel's making on that, you know, because who would want to talk about freeing slaves because they were already freed in the country? You know, you can't make that argument anymore. So this is true. You know, if something's gone now, you can't make that argument anymore. Once it's done, it's done. It kind of goes back to what I mentioned with marijuana. Once marijuana is fully legalized in this country, and it will happen, may take 20 years to get all 50 states, but it's going to happen. The point is that what's the point of the Legal Marijuana Now Party? What's the point of the United States Marijuana Party? What, to continue to defend the right? They think it's going to go back away? No. Look at what's happened with gay marriage. Gay marriage is completely legalized in the United States. You had some people fighting at the beginning, but now it's here. That's here. They're queer. Get used to it. That's kind of, you know, remember the whole thing? We're here. We're queer. Get used to it. Yeah, I took that. You know, give them the credit for that. You know, once it happens, it's going to be like it's not going to happen. It's not going to go away. So what's the point of these parties, the marijuana parties? Once it's legalized, they have no point anymore. So it goes away. So that argument's gone. So that changes over time, and it kind of, you know, Luke Birch kind of went with that. I'm changing a little bit. You know, he said the party switch never happened. Political landscapes have changed, not parties. It's a little bit of both in that case, but the landscape has changed, and that's the case. You know, when it comes to gay rights, when it comes to, because even in Democrats, even guys like Bill Clinton, they were not really for the LGBT in the early years. You know, they calmed down a little bit later on. LGBT rights have changed. We've changed when it comes to marijuana. We now have 9 states in Washington, D.C. that have it, and so on and so forth. So let's go back. I mentioned something we're going to move on, and that's the section on fear. We always get into the fact of the fear. There's always fear-mongering because of the hard-siding, you know. And it's now, here's the thing. There's fear-mongering from the parties, but then we also create our own fear-mongering. That's why we also have the fear when it comes to the enemy, because if you have people that have different political views, the belief is like, and not saying you outright say this, but you have it in the back of your head. If I allow this person around me, I could be influenced into that belief, and I don't want to be brainwashed. I don't want my family brainwashed. I don't want my kids brainwashed. I don't want any other family, friends, or whatever. That we need to contain that. It's like, look, dude, you're a nice person, and I, you know, if someone were to try to take you out, I'm going to go after them, but I can't have you talking about that stuff around me. Now, it's like, there were some things where it's like that, you know. I don't have kids, but let's say I did have kids and Jenkins came over. I would say to him, dude, you know, you're my bro. You know, like Vince Russo, bro, you're my bro. But look, bro, oh my God, fuck Vince Russo. Russo, bro. Anyway, I would say to him, if I had kids, dude, just don't smoke when you're over because of the kids and everything. And I don't even think I'd have to tell him. He would be the first one to say, I'm not bringing any weed with me. Don't worry. You know, so There are certain things when it's like that, and it's like it's understandable. But if you got like the whole thing with the political beliefs, the fact that you could ostracize someone, whether it's peaceful or not, the fact you ostracize someone because they have a different view, that's chaotic and that's annoying. And it's like, and you can go off of the whole thing like, let's just not talk about the politics. We got differences. I was doing the door to door today, and guess what? There was a guy that I met, and he pointed out the fact that he is a hardened Republican, and his wife is a hardened Democrat. And I said to him, wow, you know, amazing you guys keep that going. He goes, we just don't talk politics. You know, we realize it's the best thing. Let's just talk about anything else. And they made their marriage work. And guess what? Famous people have done that. James Carville, the guy who ran Bill Clinton's 1992 presidential campaign, which ultimately made him president of these states united from 1993 to 2001. He's married to a Republican. And he's pointing the fact, and they talk about politics somewhat, but he says they don't go in depth on it. And, you know, he loves her to death, she loves him to death, and that's beautiful. I love the fact that you can have, you know, it goes back to that mindset, opposites attract, everybody. And it's beautiful the fact that they can make that marriage work and last, and they don't let the politics divide them. Yeah, maybe he's for guns and she's against guns. Maybe he's for pro-life and she's pro-choice. I don't know. We didn't talk about that. But the fact that they could be that way and be married and not let it affect them, because it doesn't affect their relationship itself. And that's the good thing. So we need to be able to have that more. The fact that there are couples that could be completely different like that. And I've had that. You know, my girlfriend, a lot of politics, different. So I don't talk about it a lot. She gets mad at me because I'm doing a lot of stuff and I don't tell her. But it's like, babe, you don't like the politics. You even got mad at me and said you don't understand all the politics. So you don't want to listen in because you don't understand it. And I'm trying not to piss you off. You know, I'm trying not to annoy you with it because it's something I really have a passion for and I love it. And I'm not going to tell you about all this stuff because I know you don't understand all of it or want to on some of the things here or there, which is okay. I'm not going to insult you on that, you know. You know, maybe I could do more and be a little better and say, you know, I'm doing this, this, and this beforehand. But I don't know. I don't think to, because it's something that she doesn't like, so why am I going to insult her with it, you know? I feel like if I'm talking about it, I'm insulting her in those cases. And it doesn't bother me if she doesn't like the politics, so what, you know? It's not like it's the argument between Furbies and Beanie Babies. I don't care. I almost said Beanie Bears. A lot of the Beanie Babies were bears, though, so haha. But we get into this mindset of fear that if we let it be talked about, it's more pronounced. And people want to sometimes, the problem is we also kind of want to live in the mindset of a bubble. We want to live in the world of a bubble where, you know, many of us, in many ways, we may say, I don't live in a bubble. I don't want to live in a bubble. And that's good. And it's true. But it's also the fact that some people, it's like there's certain things that it is. I don't want to talk, I don't want you talking about the politics because I don't want to hear these things and I don't want to think about the fact that you're on the opposing side. Why? What's the big deal? As I do the whole, you know, the whole Stewie emphasis on the H sound with the whip, the cool whip. Why? What does it do? You know, you're being weird, which is not even an H in there, but I'm taking that from Meg. Fuck it. Meg deserves credit. Anyway, I am rambling and I am annoying. And I'm amazed I've had so many hot girlfriends and hot dates. How? Anyhow, I'm going to leave this YouTube link up because I know there's going to be something that pops up, you know. You ever seen the British episode of Family Guy, Luke? Shut up, British Meg. But anyway, we get into the fear as well, but it's not just the fear of like the idea, like, okay, it's getting spoken like that, but it's also, we got to talk and we got to force our points, because if the opposing force gets any traction, it's going to be the end of our world. It's going to be the end of all the world and everything. We can't allow that to happen. Now, you know how you can properly use the fact that that's what you truly believe? Go to campaign events. Go to candidate forums. Ask questions that you think is going to be enough of a problem for the opposing candidate. I don't know. Vote. Get on with your local city boards, everybody. Check out city boards, county boards, councils, committees, whatever. There's the city council itself. Those are elected. Would you be amazed at how many seats, by the way, run unopposed? Thousands of seats every election cycle is no opposition. My city was supposed to have some elections for this year. And guess what? They had to cancel the elections for the city council because there was no opponents. So they're automatically reelected in. because nobody met the requirements. It's crazy, you know. So check those out, and then you got the city boards and stuff like that. Those you can just apply for, and if nobody takes it, you get sworn in by the city, the council, the county commissioners, or the whoever, you know, or on the state level, the state levels as well. Just check those out. You'd be amazed what you can get involved in and learn those local politics, learn the different stuff. You know what I mean? It could be a lot of fun. My place, there's nothing really going on, so I haven't checked. I should check. But anyway, we got this fear mindset. And the fact is that there's a lot of topics where it gets to that point. Look at how much fear mongering there was from both sides. The belief that if Hillary becomes president, it's the end of the world. If Donald Trump becomes president, it's the end of the world. Now, everybody knows I'm a Trump supporter, but when it came to the idea of Hillary, like, did I feel it was going to be the end of the world? No. Did I feel things were going to go to shit? Yeah. But it wasn't going to be the end of the world. Worst case scenario, I was going to move to Australia and hang out with Sky Genie as I joined the Australian Army. And yes, that is actually something I've thought about doing, was when I thought about the idea of moving to Australia, was to join the Australian military. I'm not joking. But by the way, I recommend it, everybody. You'd be amazed what you could do with your college education going into the Australian military. They're looking for more people with college backgrounds. It's amazing. They don't have enough people over there. I don't get it. Australians are smarter than us, but not as much with the college, I guess. Anyway. All right. Almost halfway done with that beer. I'm taking a lot of time with it, everybody. I'm enjoying it. I'm savoring it. But why do we allow this? Why do we do this whole fear thing? Why do we do the fear mongering? Political parties do the fear mongering. That part we understand because they're trying to get as much points. They got to make the opposing forces look like the enemy. They have to swear that they are the enemy and that they're Satan and evil. I get that part. But why do we, as everyday regular people, not just Americans, Canadians, Brits, Australians, Austrians, because Wolfman mentioned the Freedom Party over there, and remind me about that again, because I want to check out some more. You wrote some stuff down earlier, Wolf, and I didn't read it because I was talking and I forgot. I'm sorry. I should really just pull up the link myself. You know, why am I making him do the work? That's not fair. But why do we individually do the fear mongering? I don't get that part. If you're campaigning within a party or something, I get that because now you're part of that team. But when you're just a regular private citizen every day not doing any of that, why do we do that? And I'd love to figure out why we do that to the umpteenth degree that we do it at. I just don't get that. You know, I mean, and I'm not talking about, and again, I'm not talking about the door-to-door stuff or going to campaign events. You're now part of a team. But when you're back at your own house. Now, here's one example I'm okay with. When you're watching the news and something triggers you like that, and I'll use the word trigger because that's what the news does. It's supposed to trigger you. Then if something happens that you don't like, it's a trigger. That is what it is. There's no dispute in that, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just don't get the fact that we have to attack each other and treat that we're the enemy because out of the fear like that. If you voted for Hillary Clinton, you wanted the end of the world, and you should be damned happy that we won, that Trump won, and America is doing much better. I'm okay with the jokes I'm saying, America and everything. I'm okay with you getting heat on your political topics. But to look at each other as the enemy, I just don't get. My friends that are Democrats or Green Party and say, they're the enemy. Oh, my God, they're the enemy. Yeah, in the race, they're the enemy. They're the opposing force. And that's okay. It's just like any other race. Guess what, guys? You play a baseball game. Guess what? The guys on the other team, they're the enemy. You're playing a game of volleyball. They're the enemy. You play a game of mini golf. Guess what? Your little sister is now the fucking enemy. Because you got to get the higher points. Because dad said whoever gets the higher amount of points in the end is getting free ice cream. And the other one's just going to sit there with a blow pop. Screw you. I kicked my sister's ass at mini golf. Anyway. But I was a prick about it at the time. So I still got her ice cream to make her feel better. Anyway. But, you know, and Gabriel said it's universal. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I just don't get why we do to the fear-mongering, the fact of attacking each other and treating them like they are, like they're a leper. You know, If someone who's a leper, it's okay. You know, if you get, leprosy can be contagious, so you don't want to touch them, so if you want to stay away. You know, at least that's the belief. I don't know. I'm not a fucking doctor. So you stay away from them. You don't want them to touch you. That's one thing. But we treat everybody else like they're the lepers. You know, and Sky Genie, now Sky Genie, there you go. A good third party. He's from Australia. He lives in Australia. I don't think he's even been to the United States, and that's not knocking Sky Genie. You know, he said, I liked Bill Clinton, but did not like Hillary. That's a non-American saying that. So he's non-biased to the umpteenth degree. And guess what, guys? He's liberal. Sort of. He hates politics over there. But, and by the way, Luke, that was Lewinsky. Monica Lewinsky. You know, he said, same as Monica Sky. He was talking about Sky Genie. My bad. So, I'm an idiot. Anyway, I just don't get why we do that. So now let's kind of move on, because I've only got a little bit of time left, roughly an hour. And I'm going to be doing some call-ins at some point to take some of the guys. So the last topic is, how do we combat this? How do we combat the psychology of personal political division? I think it's a vital question. Hang on a second. Let me just check something. Could have sworn I heard a knock on the door, but there's nobody. Anyway, Gabriel Hillary was just a more clear example of a corporate Democrat. Okay, there you go. If that's how you feel. How do we combat this personal political division that we have made? Because I have not let... I understand what the politics do. They need to fearmonger because it makes you more to want to... And it's not just the fearmongering thing, like, okay, they're the end of the world. It's also the fearmongering and saying how opposite they are and point about their views. And the fact is, political parties have also got hardlining themselves, not just point out the fact of how hardlining the enemy is, but how much hardlining they have become, because it's got to be like that. And there's people all the time that have different views with the party. You're not 100% equal to the party. Anybody that says they agree 100% with everything of the party, I guarantee either doesn't know the entire platform or is lying. I'm not 100%. Look, I'm 100% for gay rights. It's a quick example. I'm not going to go into everything, but I'm going to give you a great example. I'm 100% for gay rights. I believe in gay marriage. I believe in gay civil rights. I believe you shouldn't be fired or evicted from your houses for being gay. And guess what? There's a shitload of states that allows that, including my state of Florida and my home state of New York. There were blue states that allow that, everybody. That's the surprising thing. Republicans have more and more come around to gays. In fact, one of the guys that do the door-to-door stuff, he's gay. Him and his boyfriend are both Republicans. And I was amazed by that part. That's one of the things that I've noticed. It's like, you know, I've talked about the identity politics, and I can go into that, but I'm not going to do that. But there were a quick synopsis. It's like, I can't say in the identity politics, because that goes into the fear-mongering as well. If you're black, you have to be Democrat. If you're Christian, you have to be Republican. Oh, my God. And you're gay. My boy. I'm trying to do the Jim Barnett. My boy. If you're gay like me, you got to be a Democrat. You know, very well, Jerry, you gotta point this out. You can't be saying these things, Jerry, because now New Jack wants you and your son dead. But, you know, oh my God, I'm an asshole. You know, and the reason why I did that is, I brought that as the fact is, well, Jerry Jarrett is the guy who said the stuff that now New Jack hates Jerry Lawler for life. But it's like, you know, you get these ideas and the fear mongering that we got going on. You know, why do we get the fear mongering like that with the identity politics as well? That's the same thing. How can you ostracize someone because of the fact? And Gabriel made it mention before, you know, because I mentioned the fact that the guy that I was talking about who's a debater who was Republican, he said that's a sad black guy. It's like, you know, why do you even got to say that, dude? I'm serious about that. And I'm going to be calm. I don't get why we have that kind of thing where you got to say those things, you know. But then again, I'm the white guy. I'm the pasty-faced pecker, as Christopher Titus would say. So, meh. But I can't stand the identity politics, period. Like, you're white, so yeah, you could be any of the parties, but you need to feel that you're evil and stuff like that, so vote Democrat to show you're not evil and stuff like that. It's like, well, fuck you. You know, I'm not evil by any means. I'm evil when we play a video game, and damn it, I want to win in Call of Duty, but guess what? More than about half the time, I end up losing. I'm the loser. And when I say more than half the time, I really mean 98% of the time. That other 2% of the time, I got lucky. So, but I'm kind of competitive when it comes to the game. But I have a lot of fun, too. Getting to a good spot, and I'm ready to take a snipe, and I'm about to kill the guy, and then knifed. Fuck you! It was going to be my kill. Damn it. But anyway, so let's try to figure out how we can combat these political divisions. First off, the key thing is to not think it's the end of the goddamn world. You know what I mean? Don't think it's the end of the goddamn world, first off. I mean, when Trump won the election and during the election night, the Canadian immigration system crashed because of how many people were checking it, like, oh my God, how to check. And people got arrested at the Canadian border for crossing into the border illegally because they couldn't get, they didn't bother to go through the actual border. Why? I don't know. You could take a vacation up there and then hide in the country illegally. People do it here all the time. You know, try that. I mean, now here's the problem, though. Canada is a lot stricter than we are when it comes to immigration. So the fact of having your papers, if you want a job or anything, you're screwed. So if you go through the border, guess what? Not only are you illegal, not only are you overstaying your visa and stuff, because when you come in, you can only be in Canada for X amount of days if you're a non-citizen, and you have to go. Depending on the country, Americans get a longer period. I think 90 days is the maximum you can be in the country at one time. Unless you get a work visa. You get a work visa, you're different. Educational visa, different. But without a visa, 90 days. Anyhow, so stop thinking it's the end of the world. Stop thinking like it's you got to get away. I understand you don't want this person to win. And I understand you're going to think it's hell if that person wins. Whether, you know, so let's say whether or not we're talking about you know, Donald Trump. If we're talking about Donald Trump Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Gary Johnson or you know, now let's look at in other countries, whether it's going to be Theresa May still or Nicola Sturgeon for the Scottish National Parties, or if you're looking at the Labour Party over in the UK and thinking like, oh my God, what, God forbid Jeremy Corbyn becomes the leader, or now we look at Canada and you got Justin Trudeau or Andrew Scheer or Jagmeet Singh of the New Democratic Party, you know, whether it's any of these guys, it's like, stop thinking it's the end of the world. Canada had conservatives, and then Justin Trudeau with the liberals took over. The New Democrats are trying to do what they can. They've grown on some things here or there. I think it depends. I mean, the provincial politics, things have been taking a big hit. The progressive conservatives took out everybody, basically, in the Ontario Parliament. And now you got Doug Ford, brother of the former crack-smoking mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford, is now the premier of Ontario, which is like a governor. I don't get why they call him a premier. It's like, okay, they're the premier. They're the prime guy. It's like, well, that makes sense, but why is their deputy a lieutenant governor? Why not just call him governor? I wish I could understand that. But anyway, stop thinking it's the end of the world. Next thing, be willing to talk and hear a person out. And don't be afraid to say that you still believe the way you believe. Believe the way you believe. If that's how you feel and you're hardened into that, that's okay. But be willing to talk to other people and just hear the other side. Sometimes you'd be amazed. That discussion I was talking about that I had, that debate I had with that young girl who's a minority, you know, she's Middle Eastern and she's bisexual. We had a good talk about a lot of stuff. You know, I point out a lot of stuff and kind of swayed her on some things and made her more open-minded. I opened her mind to some stuff and she was amazed by it, you know. I point out a lot of things, you know, Trump's background when it came to gays over time and stuff like that. I was supported him for all those years. You know, he had to be a little bit more stern talk. You notice he was careful with his talk because, one, he's got the background for supporting him, but two, we talked about when it came to state rights or the rights of religion and stuff like that. He had to get the evangelical vote. That was why I was clearly defending. But I'm telling you guys what I said to her. It's only fair that I say it directly like that. But she was coming around to some of the stuff. She was open-minded. I opened her mind. She was intrigued at what I had to say like that. Don't be afraid to do the same thing and allow the same thing for you. Because if you live in a bubble,
You're not going to know everything, everybody. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. There could be a topic that you believe completely. Dick Cheney, the most hardened Republican in history. And I'm not talking a Lincoln Republican like good old honest, like Honest Abe. I'm talking the good old, I'm talking about the good old hardened Republican that people fear. Dick Cheney was 100% for gay rights because his daughter's a lesbian. And he outright said, you know, how can I hate gays when I have my own daughter? Why can I get married and she can't get married? Seriously, you know. I can't do the deep voice like you know when the problems are going on. If the French just held on their defenses against the Germans, if they put up a fight, we wouldn't have had to deal with World War II going on. Should have had a chance. I don't know. He's just evil and annoying. Ugh. But he was 100% for gay rights. You know, be open because there's going to be topics that you may be different on. And guess what? If you change one political topic, that's okay. You could still be on your side and not be hard. Now, side note, that's one of the things I couldn't stand about when I was with the Democrats was I was a Democrat, and the problem that you could be just different on one view and become the enemy was I couldn't stand that. You know, I had all these other views that I agree with them, and it's like, what the hell? With the Republicans, it's more the fact that, you know, you got people that think differently than you. You think differently than them. And it's like, you know, it's okay. You know, yeah, you get the Bible thumpers, and it's like, I respectfully disagree, you know, what Jesus said. And if you read the Bible, you know, we could know that the good Lord baby Jesus, that sweet little 8-pound baby Jesus, when he grew up and became the man, became the Messiah, he was 100% like this, he was like this, and therefore the good Lord said like that, and therefore, my brothers and sisters, we got to believe. Yes, I just put a Bo Dallas in there, because why the fuck not? That guy deserves a push, you know? Yes, I'm a Bo Dallas guy. You know, believe in that, bitch. I took too much of a swig, so the bubbles from the damn beer went into my nose. Yeah. My boogers have hops now. Nice. Anyway. You know, and Gabriel is a great thing. You know, it ain't okay on abortion. Tommy Lahren got in trouble for that one. Here's the thing. Glenn Beck gave her the problem for that. Glenn Beck's the one who had the problem with, you know, and that's why you do have people that are like that. Tommy Lahren came out, and she's pro-life, but she said that, you know, she's, as I said, you know, I'm personally pro-life, but women should be able to have the choice of it is because it's about themselves, not about guys. You know, it's like that. She said she'll always vote pro-life, but, you know, also at the same time, it's like you need to be open on the abortion thing because it's a woman thing and stuff like that. And yes, Glenn Beck fired her from the Blaze. Guess what? She's got a job with Fox News. Fox News picked her up. Fox News don't give a damn that she's open-minded on the abortion. It's not that bad. You know, the Democrats, I felt it more. The Republicans, I don't feel it as much. But both sides do tend to have it. Yeah, to me personally, the numbers-wise, it's a lot less on the Republican side than the Democrats. I haven't had anybody tell me that I'm wrong for any of my beliefs. I could talk about some of the stuff possibly, and someone may tell me they respectfully disagree, but it's not that bad. You know, but the fact that you even need to say it's not that bad means that we still need to work on that. We need to be able to work on the fact that we have different views and be okay with that. Talk to each other, let it be out there, and don't think they're the goddamn enemy, you know? Now, if someone says anything directly that you mean direct harm to you and your family, and I'm not talking about the fact like saying like, well, look, dude, you smoke marijuana and you're an awesome guy, but, you know, if the cops come for you, the cops come for you. You're committing a crime. That's a bit of an asshole thing to say it like that, but that's not risking harm. That's kind of more of pointing out justice in the mindset, because it is illegal outside of Washington, D.C. and 9 states. So it's like pointing out, you know, like Jenkins could be busted for it. Papa Dave could be busted for it. If I was smoking pot, I could be busted for it. I've never smoked pot in my life, and God damn it, that's a polygraph test that I will pass, and I will feel humiliated for passing that test because I am so square that I've never smoked pot in my life. God, how boring am I? I think pathetic too, but man, I don't know, maybe that fault. Probably. But So anyway, stop thinking it's the end of the world. Stop thinking that you need to be, that you can't talk. Talk about your political beliefs. Now, if it comes up, I'm not saying you need to be there. You know, I'm not saying that Gabriel and I need to be there when we go, we're just chilling or whatever. He's like, hey, you want to go to Buffalo Wild Wings? Awesome. Yeah. You know, hey, can I get a thing of, barbecue boneless wings? And, Gabe, what are you wanting to get? Okay. You want to get the Buffalo wings. Okay. Yeah. You know, hey, Hey, you like variety? Maybe we can cut them, take half. You know, I'll take five of mine, you take five of yours, and then we'll take the other five of each and then flip it over. How's that sound? Hey, two for one. There you go. By the way, why the fuck is it that you have a problem with abortion? Huh? Why you gotta be pro-death, huh? What the fuck? Don't bring it up like that! If you see something in the news and you got different views on, be okay with talking about it if it comes up, but don't bring it up where it doesn't matter. What the fuck does Buffalo Wings have to do with the mindset of whether or not to deal when it comes to illegal immigration? You know? I'll tell you why. Because that goddamn illegal is the one making them buffalo wings for me, and these buffalo wings are taking... Shut up! Eat the damn chicken! You say an enemy, I can't help but think of a recent Alex Jones video where he screamed that CNN's Brian Stelter is your enemy. I hope it's still on YouTube. No, it's not, because they killed his account, remember? It may be on someone else's account, though. That's possible. You know, Gabriel, Buffalo Wild Wings is a politics-free zone. I'll say 90% of that's true, because they do have the news on one of those televisions. Mostly it's sports, but there's always that one channel somewhere. Could be Fox, could be CNN. Hell, they could be completely neutral and put it on the BBC, and I'm okay with that. I'm really fine with that. You want to put on the BBC, go for it. BBC is fun, you know. You know, Christopher Titus said it best. The BBC is the only news station where you can watch where you can make the worst things in the world sound okay. Hello, and welcome to the BBC. Satan has re-entered the planet. He's biting off the heads of babies. He's grabbing babies from their cribs, biting off their heads and sucking out their souls. We're in for 1,000 years of darkness. All hope is lost. And now, the World Cup update. BBC is awesome. And I learn a lot of international news. I gotta find the BBC. I gotta find that channel. Good stuff. So, again, don't think it's the end of the world. Talk about your politics and be willing to listen to someone from the opposing side. Bring up politics only when it makes sense. If you see something on the news that has to do with illegal immigration, it's like, and you guys both have your reactions, talk it out. Say that's an okay moment. The news came up. That was the trigger. Gabriel didn't make the trigger. Sky Genie didn't make the trigger. Luke Birch didn't make the trigger. Who made the trigger? CN goddamn N. Because the channel was on. Now, to be fair, a little bit of blame also goes to the fact that whoever put on that channel. If you just turned on the TV, y'all came back, y'all were watching the game or something, you came on back, you were at the game, you came on back, you were just chilling and everything. Hey, look, put on the television, let's see what's on. And then next thing you know, Donald Trump has taken 12,000 illegal, undocumented immigrants, and he has sent them back. How horrible is it? Now you've created the trigger. And the fact that Luke just turned on the TV ain't his fault. It ain't Gabe's fault for telling Luke to turn on the TV. It ain't Sky Genie's fault because he ain't said shit. Okay? You know? It's nobody's fault but the news. And now you can talk about it. Bobby Anthem would be evidence that BBC is a natural or neutral. I can see what you're talking about there. So just be calm. Be happy and be willing to talk about these things when it's proper and understand that. So I got my Skype open. I'm going to start taking calls in. We're going to limit the time to 5 minutes a pop, okay? I've got about roughly 35 minutes left. So we're going to take the calls and I'm going to put the timer on with my phone. I'm going to have a 5 minute countdown and the 5 minutes won't start until after, you know, I say, so what do you think of the show? Now the 5 minute clock will start, okay? So once that happens, then the clock will start. So that intro and everything's not gonna count. It's kinda like Family Feud, you know? The clock doesn't start the countdown until after you answer the first question. You know? Kinda like that. But the thing is, the difference is gonna be is the clock's gonna start as you start answering the first question, which is, what's your take? You know what? That's what I'm gonna say. What's your take? Or what's your check? Cause the show's Reality Check. What's your check? You know? which I can say anytime because my family's Czechoslovakian, so I'm the Czech. So let's take the calls. And first and foremost, already starting off very international. Good day to my good mate, the Liberal Democrat that is the Birch of Luke. So, as I officially say,
fuck Liberal Democrats.
What's your take? No, what's your check?
Really, the main thing that made me want to call in was when you were talking about the American Marijuana Party, and it got me thinking about redundant parties who have served their purpose.
Okay, like who?
My mind immediately went to the UK Independence Party, and I will openly admit, and up until the referendum, until they served their purpose, I was a huge supporter of theirs. I am a huge supporter of this nation leaving the European Union, but when it came to the election we had here last year. Once that came to a close, I left the party I'd joined. It wasn't UKIP. I never actually joined UKIP, but I was a supporter of that cause. But I left the Conservative Party.
Okay.
Because during that election, I found myself becoming dogmatic.
Okay, like what? What was give me a key example.
There were policies in the Conservative Manifesto in 2017 that, quite frankly, was hideous.
Okay.
But I found myself trying to defend them policies just for the simple fact that I carried a card saying I was a member.
There's always got to be something, everybody. I apologize for that. So, yeah, there was some tech issues, so I just decided to restart the whole computer. No worries. So I got Luke Birch back on here. So I called him first before we went live. That way he didn't eat into the time. So I'm going to get back a minute just because of the fact that I know that we ate into the clock with some of the tech difficulties. So I'll credit him about a minute, and then we'll go to the next caller. So anyway, you started talking about Luke. How I'm not going to start the clock till I have you talk. You were talking about, you know, how you used to support the UKIP party, but you remember the Conservatives. And I was trying to guess who you went for. So a quick thing for everybody, and it brings up the whole argument made for the two party system. These are the current. This is the current British House of Commons. This is what this is Congress to the British. The current party in charge is the Conservative Party. Now, they don't have 50% of the seats, so they needed to make what's called a coalition with another party just to meet that 50% plus one seat deal. And that was with the Northern Irish-based Democratic Unionist Party. The Her Majesty's most loyal opposition, as they call it, is the Labour Party. Other parties involved, there's 35. Now, listen to this. The Conservative Party, 316 seats. The Labour Party, the other main party, 259 seats. The Scottish National Party, which is only Scotland and at one point controlled all but three seats in Scotland for Parliament, has only now 35 seats. The Liberal Democrats, 12 seats. Sinn Féin, which abstains from voting because they do not support the Queen. They are a Northern Irish party. They have 7 seats. Plaid Cymru, if that's how you pronounce it, is a Northern Irish-based party, I believe. They have 4.
No,
okay, they're Welsh.
Okay,
I fucked up on that one, didn't I? It's been a minute. The Green Party, you know how we got the Greens here? The UK Greens holds 1 seat. The Democratic Unionist Party, which helps give the Conservative Party under Theresa May still control of the British government, has 9. And then you got 6 people who are declared independent. So it shows the fact that over in the UK, they don't care the fact if a party has real power or not. They'll vote for the person they want and the seat. Meanwhile, side note, the UKIP does hold one of the biggest majorities in the European Parliament for the British. In fact, I think they're the largest. The UKIP, I don't think has ever held any seats in the House of Commons. If they did, it was like.
They've had
two?
Have.
Okay.
They held two.
Because I knew Nigel Farage was always just a member of the European Parliament. So, okay. So, yeah. So, we'll start the clock from here. So, what party are you, if I may ask? You don't have to say if you don't want, but just because you brought it up, I'm curious. But, again, you don't have to say it.
I now refuse to register with the party.
Now, what does that do for over there? Like, over here, we have independence. It just means they can't vote in the primaries. What is there any limitations of not being registered to any party in the UK?
It basically means we can't vote. Say when there's a leadership election for a party, we don't get a say in that and all that, but it's nowhere near as important.
Okay, so like when it comes to voting, if whether or not Theresa May is to stay in charge of the Conservatives or Jeremy Corbyn for the Labour Party. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So that gives an idea. So then there's no restrictions in the actual election. So, okay. Yeah, we get the same thing over here. People who are independent or any other party, they can vote for whoever. I'm a Republican, but if I wanted to, let's say tomorrow, vote for Bill Nelson, who's a Democratic senator from Florida, I could, you know? I mean, so, yeah. I wanted to quickly bring that up because it shows the different political parties in the landscape over there. That's number of parties. But what about you? Like, how is it over there in the UK? The fact that you support UKIP, and I know UKIP's the most controversial if you don't count the background of Sinn Féin. What was it like supporting UKIP? Was there any backlash? Is there any backlash to now being independent or no longer being a conservative?
Being completely honest, until recently, I was honestly too scared to talk about my politics because of the reaction I knew it would get from especially people in my generation. By the time I started to feel comfortable talking about it, I was still a card-carrying member of the Conservatives, but I'd already moved away from UKIP.
Now, is that the backlash? Is that because of the views of guys like Nigel Farage, and though he's a conservative, but very much sides with the UKIP being Boris Johnson, or is it the idea more on the breakaway of the European Union, which was more the backlash? Because you could be a Republican and not get as much of a backlash compared to being a Trump supporter, or vice versa.
The only reason I supported UKIP was for the breakaway from the European Union.
But was that the reason for the risk of backlash? If you said you supported Brexit, were you going to get the hate for that, or was it because they hated Nigel Farage?
It was really both, to be honest.
Okay.
I started to come out during the referendum campaign. I started to come out with my views, and I did do some campaigning for the Leave campaign in that.
Okay, then. Well, at least that gives a background then. So, I mean, but how does it feel like within your family or your friends itself? Like, publicly, you just mentioned that when it came to like that with others, but was it your family or your friends that gave the problem, or was it just other regular bystanders who don't know you? Like, what's the heat there?
I don't have any concern with family because while most of them are to the left of me, I don't fear any backlash from them. It's people online. It's people I know but don't have any firm connection to, like friends. I fear losing friendship over my politics.
What, like your close friends, could that be? Like, I'm trying to understand the and we've already went a little bit over the clock, but that's okay. We can work with this. What last question is? Is in the UK culture, is it as hardlining? Like, and the fact that there's so many different political parties. I mean, like, do Liberal Democrats get less heat than people in the Labour Party, or do people that are DUP get more heat because they're farther to the right than the Conservatives?
I It's definitely the more extreme you are, the more heat you get, but it's nowhere near as bad as you have it over there. Britain hasn't really descended into political violence since 2011.
2011. That was, is that when Cameron first took over from Gordon Brown?
No, Cameron took over in 2010. It was surprise, surprise riots over a police shooting.
Okay. So that was more of a personal rather than political. Okay. I mean, there's politics involved, but from political incident. So, I mean, personal incident. Okay. Okay then. So, well, that makes sense. I mean, yeah.
I'd just like to say thank you for having me on.
No problem, Luke. You're awesome and everything, and I'm glad you're involved in the chat and everything, and you help bring an international feel, you know, like guys like C-Pipes and yourself and Sky Genie, you know, and I love asking these questions. And this kind of show, I really want to get you guys, like, chatting like this because it helps show, like, what is, you know, everything's always Americanized here. We want to hear what the Canadianized form, the Australianized, you know, I'm trying to say it like that because it's not ostracized, and the British-sized versions. You know, I want to know, like, how it is like that so it helps compare, you know, compare and contrast. Maybe things are worse over in another country or compared to this one topic, or maybe in another, you know, maybe, I don't know, who knows? We got that topic some people have asked about, you know, friendships after breakups, you know, like maybe it's like in some place. Oh, I grew up in Zambia, and you cannot be with an ex. You must chop their head off. That is wrong. The fact that you're still letting them even live, that you are evil. It's like, dude, we play poker. So, but yeah, no, I'm glad you're involved and, you know, whenever I'm doing the call-ins, please always call in whenever you want, dude.
If you're doing call-ins and it's something like this that I do have a strong view on, I will happily call in.
And last thing, even if you don't have maybe a strong view, maybe you just got questions, you know, towards it. That's okay. So, awesome.
Okay. You do realize what you just got yourself into there.
I got a feeling I'm going to learn. All right. All right. Oh, yeah. You have yourself a good one, mate. Cheers.
And yourself. Bye-bye.
All right. Awesome. Okay, I don't know who's going to be the next caller, but if you guys want, you know, the call-ins, I could do about another 20 minutes left in me before we got to make sure we have enough time for the reset tomorrow. About a little over 20 minutes. So we'll probably be good at about 18 minutes and then I'll use the outro. So, but yeah, if you guys want to do the call-ins and, you know, give any of the talk, you know, what's your check on all this and, any questions, comments, smart ass remarks, stuff like that. So, but yeah. And if you guys are not wanting to call, but let's say you want to just say something in the chat, then keep going like that. We've been doing that the whole time as well. So let's, I mean, I really don't get the political discourse. When it comes to the political parties, it makes complete sense. They got to do what they got to do. When it comes to personal individuals, I mean, why do we do this heat? And we need to just learn to come together, you know. The fact that Luke just pointed out the fact that he was afraid of mentioning when it comes to the UKIP, you know, because the younger generation is more supportive of unity with all of Europe. You know, that's the thing that we've seen in this country is when it comes to the progressives is more and more people are talking about the idea of a world government, you know, a world politics or a world. Some people have seen like, you know, get rid of all the borders. You know, there doesn't need to be individual borders for individual countries. You realize that's never going to happen. You could try and do that within the United States and get rid of it, but you're not going to be able to. The only, you want to know the most successful place you could do that with? Somalia. Because guess what? Things are so bad in Somalia, the government of Somalia can't even control anything outside of fucking Mogadishu. They literally, that's all they have control of. You can look on a map and see like these are the borders of Somalia. And guess what? Those are the borders of Somalia. And guess what? That don't mean shit. Completely rogue control. The pirates have it. You want to talk about how the Bahamas was back in the 1700s when guys like, you know, like freaking Benjamin Hornigold had to come on in, and he was working with the pirates and everything. He was a pirate. And then, you know, Edward Thatch, better known as Blackbeard the Pirate, and they were running the place. And then, of course, in like 1712 or 1715 or something like that, you know, it was like for 10 years the British, the Spaniards left the Bahamas to rot, you know, just not governed. And then like 1715 the British came in, Woodes Rogers was instituted as governor, and he had to try to take over the place and put some control in it, and eventually that's what happened. And that's why to this day the Bahamas is still part of the Commonwealth realm, which is why the Queen of England is, guess what, the Queen of the Bahamas.
Seriously, check out on the Bahamian money on the half, the 50-cent bill. And I said bill, not coin. There's a 50-cent bill. There is a $1 bill, and there was a $3 bill. The Queen is on all of them. The $5 bill, they got one of their governors or something like that on there. So, but yeah, you know, that's what Somalia is. So if you want to try to work with the idea of no borders, that's what it is. But that's where you get like the more idea, like the European Union, bringing more countries together, become one and stuff. And younger people, progressives and other people, it's like, that's kind of what they're doing. And so you got Luke, for example, who is in support of Brexit, and he's got to worry about the idea of getting heat. And it's like, you shouldn't be able to do that. No progressive should ever feel like they have to get heat with any of us for talking. No conservative should ever have to feel heat for talking about their views. No liberal should have to worry about their heat. You know who has to worry about talking about their views? Pedophiles and people that want to eat people and anybody that supports pineapple on pizza. I'm sorry, but you're a heathen. You're not as evil as the pedophiles. I will say that. Don't think I was trying to lump you up in there, but you are evil. Pineapple does not belong on a pizza. One of the best videos I ever saw was frickin' Gordon Ramsay trying to eat a pineapple pizza and he couldn't even make it through the first goddamn bite. That is how it is. And Luke Burch, you know, thank you for having me on and sorry for going over. No, you're fine, Luke. You know, it was good. It was completely fine. You were great. You know, follow the format. Right, Luke. Follow the format. Or follow the formula. That too. So, but when it comes to just strictly political views, you shouldn't have to have the fear. Any Republican that says, look, I'm open to marijuana, it's like, why should I feel? I went to, guess what, here's an example, guys. I went to a candidate forum for the Commissioner of Agriculture. Now, that's this, like the federal level, it's the Secretary of Agriculture. On the United, on the state level, what do you call it? On the state level, the Commissioner of Agriculture is one of the most important seats. Our cabinet is four people. It's not like Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary of Veterans Affairs. It's four people. The governor, or the lieutenant governor in the case of the absence of the governor, the chief financial officer, the attorney general, and the commissioner of agriculture. And all those seats are elected. The commissioner of agriculture is an elected seat. Same as the attorney general and same as the chief financial officer. Or you can think about it kind of like the secretary of the treasury or something like that. More like the IRS head, if you will, because we don't control our own kind of money. Florida doesn't have the Florida shilling. And so the candidates had their candidate form. And it's more than that. It's the Commission of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Anything that has to do with, like, OSHA, anything that has to do with firearms, well, depending on if it's a law break, then the FDLE takes over. But, like, concealed carry licenses, anything to do with oil, anything to do with any kind of agriculture, anything that's kind of like Department of the Interior kind of stuff. I mean, you got the Department of the Environmental Protection, but some of it falls in there as well. You know, that all goes to the Commissioner of Agriculture. And so I went to this candidate forum for the Commissioner of Agriculture, and, you know, we were asking questions. And one of the things came up with the idea on industrial hemp, the idea to grow industrial hemp, non-weed marijuana, non-marijuana weed. It's hemp, but it's not like that. And so the question came up, and of the three candidates, there's a total of four candidates for the Republicans, but only three showed up. The other one canceled last minute. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I know who I'm not voting for. Anyway, the three other candidates that came in, they talked about it, and two of them outright said that they supported industrial hemp. The other one, he was like, I'm open to it. I want to see a little bit more, figure it out. We got to make sure it's not marijuana to grow and stuff, because trying to find out for the farmers, because industrial hemp could be used for a lot of stuff and not marijuana. And they're for it. And guess what, guys? One of those freaking, domino effects. When one thing falls the other. Remember, the domino theory is why we went to Vietnam. If communism takes over in Vietnam, it's going to spread across. So we got to fight against it in Vietnam. That's literally what it was. That's why we went to Vietnam. Because the Viet Cong and the Vietnamese were able to overthrow the French military in the 1950s, and communism was spreading over there. And, well, we best be damned. We cannot be allowed to have that. So the Vietnam War happened. You know, literally. That's why it started. Now, granted, I mean, Cuban Missile Crisis didn't help out in the early years like that in 1962 and stuff, and the heated stuff. So when the idea of communism and the Soviet Union going on down to Vietnam, things were pretty fucking heated already. But the domino effects like that, so I mentioned that because of the domino theory like this. If industrial hemp is legalized and supported by the state of Florida, that's just one other thing that the idea that it's going to work when it comes to other stuff for marijuana in the state. You know, we already voted to get medical marijuana legalized in Florida. Now, we're still dealing with the state legislature taking on their time and their shit. when it comes to legalizing it, because what happens is, the way it works, guys, is when a ballot referendum happens, at least in Florida, and probably in other states, but in Florida, you guys vote for it, it is to happen to effect, and if it suddenly requires changing in the Florida Constitution, then the state house and the state senate have to meet and vote on the exact thing that was made and implement it. Now, the thing is that they have to, if it's voted by majority, they have to vote in support of it. They can't vote really against it. But the fact of trying to figure out all this stuff to implement it, that's what they're taking their time on. How are we going to have, what places, how do we figure out which places we can prove to be a medicinal marijuana shop? How, what requirements are we going to need and stuff? So it's like, so after 2 years of the people voting it, it's still being a problem. You know what I mean? So, but, yeah, so it's just, so, You got that, but the fact is the domino theory is like that. So if industrial hemp can be legalized, then trust me, it's going to be one step closer when it comes to marijuana. What the fuck was I going towards with that? I had something. I had a plan. I know I had a plan. It had to do with the Commissioner of Agriculture, and I was talking like that. I think it's talking about the changing times when it comes to the politics and stuff like that. But you get these guys that they answer the questions and they get these kind of questions that could be, you know, something different. I remember that debate that they had down after the Parkland shooting, and you had Marco Rubio there, and it was kind of a setup by CNN and stuff, and they asked these questions. Will you promise to never take any money from the NRA? And it's like, well, if he says yes, he's going to be booed out and stuff like that, you know. I mean, me personally, I'm the belief of, look, you want to get donations from anybody. Anybody wants to donate, fine. Guess what? If I vote for something, doesn't mean I'm voting for you. If I vote for something and it works in your favor, I voted because I believe in it, you know. But if I didn't vote for it, if I did vote for it, I'm not voting because of you. And you telling me I need to vote for something doesn't mean I'm going to vote for it. So, you know. Some people are like, well, that's not how politics works. If you're not going to get the money. Well, so what? Bernie Sanders made a living off of not doing what the establishment says. And you don't hear about him as much, but Angus King is the same thing. He's a former governor of Maine, and he's an independent senator from Maine in the Senate. He's an independent as well, just like Bernie. Difference is Bernie's an independent because his political party, the Vermont Progressive Party, is not national. So he can't be part of it like that. So he's got to be registered federally as an independent. Oh. But, so, I hope we've had a good show. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you guys have opened up on some of this stuff. Remember, it's not the end of the world if someone has different political beliefs than you. It's not the end of the world if the other political party wins. I mean, Trump's been in charge. We're almost coming on. We're a few months away from it being 3 years since he won the election, you know, and the world hasn't ended. If Hillary was to be president, do I think the world would have ended? No. Do I feel like my world would have ended? Maybe. But I would have been smart enough to say, is the world ending? No. Would I have been taking a lot of vacations outside the country as much as possible? Probably. But I already travel anyway, you know? So that's okay. I mean, I went to Costa Rica earlier this year, so I got my foreign trip out of it. Anything, I should have just been gravy, you know? And I'm taking the trip to New York next year for WrestleMania, and then at some point next year I got to take a trip to Bulgaria. That's where Fight TV is based out of, and they have their culture capital of Europe every year, that festival. They name off two countries, some city in northern Italy, and Plovdiv, Bulgaria are the two cities for next year. So I said I was going to go. So, yeah. But, I mean, it's not the... I mean, don't be afraid to have people that have different views. Look at me. I mean, I'm the only guy on the WNC regularly that's a Republican. Angelo's a Republican, but he's not always on. He's working a lot, and that's good. You know, making that coin. And then you got Cedric, who's a Libertarian, you know, which he and I could get along with a lot of stuff. We have a lot of similarities. Clearly, Libertarians will have a lot of similarities with Republicans. And then there's things that, you know, similar with Democrats, but there's a lot more Republicans coming out as well for these things at times as well. So it just depends like that. But he's a Libertarian. Angelo's a Republican. Dave's a Democrat who voted for the Green Party. Jenkins is a... Jeff's a Republican, but he's not always on. Jenkins is... I don't even know what Jenkins is, to be honest. I think he's Democrat strictly because of the idea of legalizing weed, but I don't know. What the fuck is his political party? Yeah. Anyway. Mike's a Democrat. That's clear. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We've had some talks about politics here or there. Clearly, I'm the outcast. Not meaning like that. I mean, the fact that I'm the outcast for the fact of when it's like the four of us talking, I'm the only Republican. It's like that. That's okay. We don't have to have the same views. I don't care. Dave and I get along a lot. There was that one time we had that fight, and I don't even know how it started. God knows it's probably something that I started somehow. I don't remember. Dave, I know you're in the chat. That one time we argued, and that's the fact when I pointed out the fact that I was kind of registered with the Libertarians and all that. How did that argument start? Because I don't remember. I feel like Family Guy, you know, when Peter finally meets the chicken again and is like, well, why are we fighting? I don't know. You know, I for the life of me can't remember. It's something to do with a coupon. I don't remember what that caused. But that's it. We've had other talks. I mean, just the other day, Dave and I talked. You know, Dave, first time ever, Dave admitted the fact that he voted for Jill Stein in the Green Party. I didn't know. I thought for sure he voted for Hillary, but he didn't like either of them, I'm guessing, and he voted for Jill Stein. You know, and I'm the first person to say that's okay. And that's the last thing I want to talk about, guys. You know, the fact that we have the two-party system, I'm going to spend only so many minutes on this one. I'm going to spend about maybe 4 minutes. Here in the United States, okay, in other countries, you don't have to deal with this as much. In Canada, there's three major political parties plus two Quebec-based parties, one of them being Bloc Québécois, that are in the Canadian Parliament. There's the Conservatives, there's the New Democratic Party, and there's the Liberal Party. In the UK, where I just listed the whole thing, there's the Democratic Unionist Party, the two main parties are the Labour Party, and the Conservative Party is the Liberal Democratic Party, the Scottish Nationalist Party, the UK Independence Party, there's the UK Green Party, there's Plaid Cymru out of Wales, there's the Sinn Féin out of Northern Ireland. You got all these different parties. In the United States, we've only got a two-party system mostly because it goes back to that fear-mongering. We believe in the fact, like, you know, don't ever... Anybody that's listening, don't ever let anybody tell you this, and don't you ever tell anybody that if you vote for third party, you're voting for the enemy. If you're a Democrat, don't look at someone who's Green Party or Libertarian and say, oh, if you vote for them, you're voting for Donald Trump. And if you're a Republican, don't ever look at a Libertarian and say, if you vote for them, you're voting for Hillary Clinton. No. No. Don't. No. 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 They're voting against all of them. Because they voted for that. If they voted for Gary Johnson, they voted for Gary Johnson. If they voted for Jill Stein, they voted for Jill Stein. It's not a throwaway vote. You can say maybe it's a protest vote. Maybe. I mean, maybe they voted for that because they hated both Trump and Hillary. I don't know. Maybe. Third base. You know? But don't tell people that they're a spoiler vote, spoiler candidate, throwaway vote. You just negate it. No. If you don't vote, you threw away your vote. I'll say that. I'm not going to attack anybody who doesn't vote and say that they threw away their vote. I'm just saying don't ever tell anybody that, you know, if you didn't vote, you threw away your vote, but you're not evil for not voting. You know what I mean? Remember this. This is something that was said by the sixth president of the States United, John Quincy Adams. Always vote for principle, though you may vote alone, and you may cherish the sweetest reflection that your vote is never lost. I always remembered that vote, and I've told that to many people. If you vote for an independent, if you vote for a libertarian, if you vote for Green Party, Reform Party, Veterans Party, Constitution Party, Legal Marijuana Now Party, Socialist Workers Party, Workers World Party, Peace and Freedom Party, Liberty Union Party, Party of Socialism and Liberation. The point is, I know a lot of parties. And few of them actually have anything more than Coke. A couple of them have beer. The Prohibition Party, for the record, no beer. Get used to the lemonade. That's all they got. And yes, it's an actual Prohibition Party. Still existence. It's the only political party outside the Republicans and Democrats since the existence of only the Republicans and Democrats that have had a seat as a governor for the state of Florida. Sidney Katz in the 1910s was governor for a couple of years, and he was with the Prohibition Party. So, yeah. Still around. I will tell you, it's the most unfun party. There's not a lot of partying in that party. You know, like I said, it's usually going to be about the book club or over lemonade and, you know, talking about the fact of the abstinence from alcohol. Boring. Anyway, But don't, but you know, I'm making all these jokes. Maybe you support the Prohibition Party. There's nothing wrong with that. Go for it. If you tell me, hey, I voted for the Prohibition Party, do it. Do it. You know, that's who, don't let other people tell you that your vote is wasted. If that's what you voted, and now if you did it like, you want to hear something funny, what if I were to vote for the Prohibition Party? Dude, that would be hilarious. First off, taking a page out of Louis C.K., how the fuck is that hilarious? Hilarious means it was so funny you almost went insane. Okay? There's nothing insane about eating a basket of chicken wings. You know, that was a joke from Louis C.K. There's nothing insane about voting for the Prohibition Party. If you meant your vote, if you believed in your vote, if you trusted your vote, and that's who you wanted to vote for, and that's what you meant for, and in the end, that was the person that you voted for, you voted for them because you believed them the most, and you think to yourself, they're probably not going to be the president, but you know what, at least I can feel like my vote was sent to an honorable person. Do it. Do it. And none of them are spoiler candidates. Anybody that says, oh, because that was the thing I hated. I showed this in Ohio. They had the congressional race, and now it's looking like the Green Party candidate's kind of a spoiler candidate because they got about maybe 1,200 votes, and it looks like that might be the margin of difference between the Republican winning the race and the Democrat losing the race. And guess what? They're not a spoiler candidate. Here's the deal. If you lost because there was more choices than just two, you know, because you had people come out. You had Kathy Griffin. You had Alyssa Milano. You had Piper Parabo, Billy Eichner, Patricia Arquette. All these others come out and insult and say it was disgusting that thanks to the Green Party. They're saying, fuck you, Green Party. You had one guy who was on CNN that said, Green Party, we hear you. We get you. But now is not the time to vote. So, fuck you. Don't ever tell anybody that. If they voted for that person, they voted for that person because they believed in that person. Let their vote. They did not waste their vote. They probably got more of a vote than anybody because that, guess what? That vote is worth more because they were one of only a few. So their percentage was much higher, but also the fact that they took a stand. Yes, they spoiled it for the Democrat, possibly. But guess what? How many of those Green Party votes could have gone for the Republican? Now, first off, not many. You're not going to find many Green Partiers voting for Republican. Less than a percent of that vote would have gone for the Republican. Less than a percent means less than 12 would have probably gone for the Republican. That's my personal belief. But don't you know, Luke Birch, same as people who claim Ralph Nader spoiled 2000. Guess what? If you don't win the race, if you lost the race because it was more than one other opponent, then guess what? That's not because more choices, because that's choices for the people. Okay? They didn't fuck you over. You fucked you over. If you couldn't get 50% plus one in the case of like a one-on-one, you know, you lost. If you couldn't get plurality of the vote, now you have cases where the election goes and then it's like, okay, we have to have majority vote. So you have the runoff election where they now take the top two. Guess what? Guess what? There you go. Round two. Fight. You know, Mortal Kombat, a Street Fighter, whatever the hell. You know, finish him. Hillary wins. I don't know. I can't do the guy. Scorpio wins. You get the point. Guess what? If you couldn't get the plurality of the vote, if you couldn't get the most vote, and that's all that's needed was to win is to get the plurality, guess what? They didn't screw you over. You screwed you over. You couldn't get enough of the people on your side. That is your job. That is your responsibility. And that is your failure. Not the people. Not your team. I mean, if there was team members that got lazy, son, and you had someone come out like, oh, they just came into my door. It's like, oh, you skipped that door. Well, like it made a difference. We lost by one vote. Whatever. You know, I'm going to Moe's Bar. Yeah, Homer Simpson joke. Don't think of that like that. You vote how you want if it's what you believe. If you do it out of a joke, you threw away your vote for fun and comedy, and guess what? I hope you enjoyed it. But guess what? If you voted, and you know what? And that's on you. And at the same time, you know, you did it. I mean, if at least you felt comfortable doing it, at least you voted. But if you didn't, if you voted like that and you wanted that person, then, you know, if that's how you believe, that's how you believe. And I'm going to cut it off like that. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. I'm going to get on out of here. You guys know tomorrow evening we're going to start. That's why I'm leaving some of the time left, because we can have the reset time during the show tomorrow. We don't have a pay-per-view this weekend, right? This ain't SummerSlam this week, is it? I know Jeff asked me if I wanted to come over to his place tomorrow or something, I think. But it couldn't be No, that's next weekend, August 19th. Okay. So, yeah. But, so next week, SummerSlam. So you got no problem checking us out. 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so, yeah. So, hope you guys enjoy yourself. I'll talk to y'all laters. As Cat Pool would say, bye!